Let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the greats check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 greats.
And the rest of the 2007 NFL
season. Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go.
Best exchange we've had probably in, years since Tom Casale actually came on board PFW. Oh, man, and they had to leave just when it was getting good. Welcome inside Patriots Playbook, everybody. We welcome you here to the program on Patriots.com radio for a Wednesday. My name is John Rook. If supporting and believing that the job that Wes Welker did on the field makes me a homer, that was good job, good enough to earn All-Pro, if that makes me a homer, well, then guess what? Call me Homer Simpson. Just because I happen to think he deserved to go. Is he a huge snub? Well, maybe not. He's probably not as big a snub as maybe someone like Fred Taylor, to be honest with you. I think Fred Taylor deserved to go. Here's a guy that got 10,000, career rushing yards in the NFL and didn't get a sniff again, and he arguably had a good year too. So, frankly, if you're going to add somebody to the list, yes, you have to take somebody off the list. My exchange was, I think Wes Welker includes to go. I thought Braylon Edwards had a great year. Did he not deserve to go? Well, of course not. But of the guys that did go, well, I thought, T.J. Hushmanzada certainly deserves. Randy Moss certainly deserves. So who do you take off? That leaves Braylon Edwards. That's pretty much it. And they're referring to, for those that did not know, let me back it up here a little bit, simply because the last couple of mornings I've been doing the morning show on WEEI in Boston for John Dennis, so it has been myself and Jerry Callahan. And of course, I was getting roasted over the coals this morning. Yeah. Well, I was getting roasted over the coals this morning for being a Patriot homer. Yeah. Well, he didn't call. He was listening, but he didn't call. And they thought they accused me of being a Patriot homer just because I was trying to make the case for Wes Welker. The fact that he had 27 more receptions than Braylon Edwards. Yes, Edwards has more yards. Yes, he has a larger yard for catch, but that's what he was asked to do within the confines of his offense. He was asked to be the big play guy. Wes Welker's not asked to be the big play guy in the Patriots offense. You and I and everybody else and Tom and Fred and everybody, Andy. Even he knows that Wes Welker isn't asked to do that in the Patriots offense. What he's asked to do is be the possession guy. He's asked to be the safety guy. He's asked to be the safety valve. He's asked to be, in lieu of a running game, he's asked to be open 5 yards downfield so we can pick up a first down kind of guy. And he did that better than anybody in the NFL, I would argue, just based on the number of catches that he has. He's going to set the Patriots record for receptions in a season. And you're telling me that's not Pro Bowl worthy? Please. Based on pure talent alone, of course, there is no comparison. Braylon Edwards is 6'19", and he runs, 3.740. I mean, comparatively speaking, Wes Welker's 5'0". I understand that. Athletically, no comparison. But based on what he did for this team, I've maintained since early in the season that I thought Wes Welker was as valuable to his team as anybody else, and that includes Tom Brady, because of the role that he fulfills. Who else would fulfill the role if he didn't do it? And would they have had as much success, even if you could find somebody, would they have had as much success as Welker did? I argue no, they wouldn't have. So that was my fight for inclusion of Welker. I didn't say necessarily he got snubbed, but I said, well, I can make a case for Welker over Edwards, and that was my argument. And of course, I got called a homer. Fine, I don't care. They can blow it out their rear ends. Doesn't bother me at all. I stayed with the courage of my convictions. You'll be happy to know, number one. And number two, I got the guy from coldhardfootballfacts.com who, as we've mentioned several times here on this program during the season, he backed me up on it. He thought based on the number of catches, 27 more receptions? I think that's significant. That's a season's worth of catches for some receivers. So, again, that was just my argument today. Now, obviously, 8 Patriots were selected to the AFC Pro Bowl team. All 8 deserved to go. Was there a snub in your estimation? That's question number one I'd like to point to you today, webradio@patriots.com. What do you think of my argument of Welker over Edwards? Agree? Disagree? Am I right? Am I off my rocker? You agree with Casale that, you know, I don't know what I'm talking about? Hey, let me know what you think. You willing to take my back on this one? Fine, I'm great. I'd love to hear from you. I happen to think that he deserved to go. Now, I think, you know, invariably he may get to go based on injuries and backouts and things like that, because I think we all know that, you know, as far as the injury report is concerned for the Pro Bowl, everybody on the team is questionable. Right now, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and, you know, and probably three-quarters of the AFC team are trying to figure out, all right, you know, this is great. How can I score a trip to Hawaii and not play? Come on. We all know that the Pro Bowl game is the biggest joke of the four professional All-Star games to begin with. It absolutely is. It means nothing. They should just name the team, you know, name them All-Pro and be done with it. The game is stupid. But we understand that there are those of you who live in Hawaii, and there are those of you football fans who have to have one more football fix, you know, after the Super Bowl. Okay, I'll buy that to an extent. And so, voila, we come up with this, you know, pseudo All-Star game known as the Pro Bowl, which, you know, means nothing. But overall, you know, they're going to play the game. So if you're going to play the game, you might as well put some players on the team. And I'm sure there are some guys, especially those that are, you know, relatively young and certainly being named to the team for the first time, who actually do give a darn about it. The veterans? Nah, could care less. Maybe a guy like Randy Moss cares a little bit more this year because he sort of feels vindicated somewhat by his, you know, I guess, reemergence as a threat in the NFL because of his coming to New England and playing for the Patriots this season. So, you know, I guess that's possible. I think the significant thing to note of the Patriots getting elected to the Pro Bowl squad yesterday was the fact that three offensive linemen are All-Stars in the same season for the first time since the AFL-NFL merger in 1970. So that's significant. And that should give you a bit of an idea of how good a season Tom Brady has really had. Why? Because he's been able to stay upright. He's had great protection. The Patriots are only for the second time in the last 20 years going to end up averaging better than 4 yards per carry on the ground. Just the second time in the last 20 years they're going to do this. Got that little tidbit from Mike Reese of the Boston Globe, you know, who did the research. I give him credit here. So, I mean, whether it's run block or pass block, the offensive line has done it, and they definitely deserved it. Now, frankly, I didn't think that Copen would go because I know he missed a little time earlier in the year with an injury. He was named ultimately out of the eight guys. He was the one player that was named as an alternate. The other seven were named as starters. Everybody seems to have been talked up Logan Mankins. That, you know, he is one of the best guards now in the entire league. Matt Light, we all, I think, could agree that had his best season as a pro. Whether or not that was Pro Bowl caliber, okay, subject to conjecture. But again, I think in light of the fact of the season that Brady has had and the season that the Patriot offense has had, that these offensive linemen are the recipients of that good fortune. I'm not saying they don't deserve to go. I personally was a little surprised. Did Matt Light deserve to go over Wes Welker? Well, you know, that's kind of an apples and oranges thing. You know, maybe there weren't as many quality tackles having great seasons as there were receivers having great seasons. I think that's likely. So I would ask you where you think the glaring omission might be on this Patriots team. Who is left out that should have been on it? Brady, Copen, Light, Mankins, Moss from the offense. Samuel, Vrabel, Wilfork from the defense. Who is left off that deserved to go? And like I said, if you agree or disagree with the Welker argument, chime in. Webradio@patriots.com. Coming up on the program here in just about a couple of minutes, in fact, away, Jeff Darlington, who covers the Dolphins for the Miami Herald. He'll join us here in the program. They're celebrating a win in Miami. Is there a reason to be excited beyond that? We'll talk to Jeff a little about that. And Wayne Huizenga says, in fact, in today's Miami Herald, the owner of the Dolphins says that he's willing to give up 49% of his shares of ownership in the Dolphins. What does that mean to the team if, indeed, he's able to find a buyer for almost half of the team? We'll talk to him about that. We will also let you hear later on in the program today from the Patriots Pro Bowl players, were made available to the media. So we'll let you hear from the Patriots Pro Bowlers themselves here on the program. Of course, Patriot head coach Bill Belichick also will have his conversation with members of the Patriots media from earlier today at Gillette Stadium. That'll all be upcoming on the program today. But right now, it's all about you. It's all about the Pro Bowl. It's all about the selection process. It's all about who you think got snubbed, who deserved to go, who did not deserve to go. Is there anybody in that list of eight that you kind of think, no. Maybe Welker, maybe somebody else would have been a better fit. I mean, how do you do the research? Have you done the research? I know I have several of you who listen to this program regularly that take the time to go out and do that research. I want to hear from you today. Did the media, did the fans, did the voting, did they get it right? I guess, in an overall scheme of things, I have a little bit of a problem with the fact that, yeah, the Patriots sent eight. Okay, that's fine. That's great. The eight Pro Bowlers tied the 1985 team with the most Patriots Pro Bowl players since the AFL-NFL merger in 1970. But in a year in which you're 14-0 and you're staring immortality in the face, didn't you deserve to get maybe a little bit more of a bump? Didn't you deserve to get one or two more mentions here? I mean, after all, you're talking about a season that is going to go down in the record books and be talked about like the 72 Dolphins forever. And yet, the San Diego Chargers also got eight. Now, it's kind of apples to oranges, but the Dallas Cowboys got 11. That was high in the NFL. 11 Dallas Cowboys. And yet they may not even be the best team in the NFC. They may not be before all is said and done. They got 2 weeks left to prove themselves. And Green Bay could sneak in as the number one seed. So anyway, want your thoughts on that. Webradio@patriots.com is how you reach us. In the meantime, let's talk a little bit more about the Miami Dolphins. Jeff Darlington, as we mentioned, covers the Dolphins for the Miami Herald newspaper, and he joined us here inside Patriots Playbook. Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. Just might not have many wind down here, but we do have good weather for once, so that's good.
Well, we like that idea. Just rub it in, why don't you, a little bit, since we went through the winter storms.
We got to rub something in, you know? You guys have all the success up there, so.
I don't blame you. My in-laws live close by, so I understand that completely. That's why we get down there as much as we possibly can. So tell us about this one-game win streak, and is it a sigh of relief, or would this team perhaps have played with a little more edge, if there's even such a thing, had they not won?
Well, I mean, I don't think that I don't even necessarily know how much a little bit of an edge is going to help this team against the Patriots, but I think that they'll take the win whenever they can get it. I don't think that this team is getting picky as to when they're going to get that win. You know, it obviously would have been historical and great for the Dolphins in their minds if they had gotten a win against the undefeated Patriots. But that said, that's asking for quite a bit much. That might be getting greedy. I think that a win over the Baltimore Ravens to avoid 0-16 is about as good as this team is gonna ask for.
Where do you think the win should have come, if not this past weekend? Where should it have come?
As in the past, are you referring to? Or
yeah, from earlier games this season. I mean, should it have gotten to 0-13?
No. They had a lot of chances to win, and that's the thing. Should it have gotten to 0-13? Yeah, because they kept folding at the wrong times. They kept not being able to make plays when they needed them. I thought that Jets game, they were playing against a bad Jets team at the time. Two-win team was one of those wins over the Dolphins, so... And they couldn't get that one. You know, there was games earlier in the season, from the start of the season against Washington. You thought they were going to win that one, then against Oakland. So there were games all along the way that you really thought that they were going to pull off. You know the statistic, six games lost by three points or less. So there were a lot of close games, but they just couldn't make it happen at the end. And that was the one difference against Baltimore. It was a close game, and finally they got to play at the end. First a missed field goal wide left, and then the 64-yard touchdown from Greg Camarillo. So, finally they were able to make the play in the end. That's basically the difference between 0-13 and one win.
Jeff, why do you think this team was not able to get over the hump in those close games? Can you put your finger on any one thing in particular?
It's tough. I don't know if it turned into like this a lack of a mental edge or what, but they just, they don't really have the talent. Let's put it that way, first of all. I don't necessarily know that they're historically bad to the point that they're the worst team in NFL history, even if they were 0-14 at this point. But, you know, they just, they don't have a lot of talent. They've had an injury bug absolutely kill their roster as well. I mean, everybody, I think their injured reserve could probably beat their current healthy starters right now between Trent Green, Ronnie Brown, Jeremiah Bell, Zach Thomas. I mean, you're talking about some pretty big names on that injury reserve list. So they've been hit by that, and really, even with them healthy, the talent around those guys, the supporting cast, just really is not there.
Yeah, I kind of gathered that. What do you think, by the way, just before I forget, you mentioned, obviously, Ronnie Brown and stuff. What's Ricky Williams' future going to be there?
Well, you know, with Ricky, it's kind of interesting. They've asked him to rehab, do all of his rehabilitation down in South Florida, in Miami, and stay around. But that's all they'll commit to him right now. They're not willing to go any further with Ricky. They're not willing to tell his agent that, yeah, we're going to have him back, all this stuff. But he's got one more year on his contract down here. And it's a very cheap contract, and you're talking about the minimum vested salary for a guy, a 7-year veteran. So it's under $1 million for the salary. So, you know, if they can get past the whole, if they feel like Ricky is still, he came in great shape. If they feel like he can be not a deterrent, not a distraction, then they're probably prone to keep him around, keep him on the roster and see what he can do, because they've got to increase his trade value if they're going to get something for him now. I'm not saying that they won't trade him in the offseason for practically nothing, but it certainly seems wise to just bring him back, let him try to prove himself. Because at this point, I think all you're going to get for him is a 6th or a 7th round pick. Maybe if you bring him back, you can work back your way to getting a 4th round pick for him.
Sure. All right, let's take that then to a different level. Will Cam Cameron be back to coach him?
You know what? I actually think that that depends a lot on what happens with Wayne Huizenga and whether or not he holds onto the team.
Okay.
You know, as we understand it, Wayne is trying to sell the team right now at least 49% of it.
Right.
If that's the case, then he would be still the majority owner, and he would have the say on which coach comes back. And I think absolutely, if Wayne Huizenga is still the owner of this team, then Cam Cameron is coming back. They have a very good relationship, and now that you saw that after this most recent win, I just can't see the emotion between the two of them and the camaraderie between them. I can't see Huizenga turning around after 2 more games and saying, okay, Cam, you're gone. So I think he will be back as long as Wayne is still the majority owner.
What's the latest then? I know it was in the newspaper there today in Miami. Anybody surprised by the fact that he's willing to sell almost half the team?
Well, I think there was an initial shock last week when we broke the story on last Thursday. But I think that, you know, that kind of died down a little bit when people started to understand his reasoning and the fact that he's going to be 70 years old here and he's thinking about his estate. And his family doesn't want to take over the team, so this is not like something that's going to be passed on. So, you know, I think that, you know, he's thinking about his own financial interests as well. You're talking about a billion-dollar investment. So, you know, that's probably where a lot of this has come from. Some of it is frustrations with what's going on with the team and their lack of success, but I think it's a combination of the two. When you look at all of that, it makes a little bit of sense.
Yeah, certainly. Well, Jeff Darlington again of the Miami Herald with us here on Patriots Playbook as the Dolphins will come into Foxborough this Sunday afternoon, a 4:15 Eastern Time kickoff against the Patriots. 14-0 against 1-13. The Dolphins are off the schneid, and yet they may or may not have two of their best defensive players. What's the latest? Now, I understand Channing Crowder underwent surgery. Is that right?
Yeah, so he's done.
He's gone.
I would say he's done for the year. You know, I guess he'll potentially come back last week, but he will not play this week against the Patriots.
Okay, and Jason Taylor's status is?
You know, it's interesting. Jason was on crutches on Monday, and it's looking like he's having some trouble there with his foot. And now he's not practicing today, but also not practicing today. It looked like Joey Porter wasn't even practicing, and Keith Traylor was limited. But I would say that Keith will be back, but I'm very interested to find out what's going on with Porter. If he's not playing, JT's not playing, and Crowder's not playing, that's not going to be a good thing for these Dolphins.
Doesn't sound like it. What's the rest of the health and the spirit like of this team? I would think they have to be somewhat lifted by the fact that they were able to get off the schneid Sunday.
Yeah, I think they're definitely, you know, I can't decide whether they're lifted or they're just relieved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's going to be interesting to see when we get in the locker room today, kind of what the atmosphere is. I'm sure this team wants to go into New England and take some of this momentum with them, you know, but that said, you know, then again, they got their one win now. We'll see what happens, what kind of sense of urgency they have. But going into a hostile environment, going into a cold environment, and going into a place where the team is obviously so historically good, it's going to be tough. Even, like I said earlier, even if they can have an edge to them, it's going to be a pretty difficult challenge.
I think the thing that's difficult for me to figure out and really put the finger on this team and on this particular matchup on Sunday is about is the fact that, you know, A, is this the Dolphins team that was trailing 42-7 at halftime against the Patriots earlier this year, or is this the Dolphins team that, lost, or almost beat the Baltimore Ravens? And, of course, the Patriots almost lost the Baltimore Ravens. So
right,
which team would show
it
up?
It is interesting. You know, when you always, anytime in the NFL, you look at, like, those scenarios where, you know, well, if the Ravens can play the Patriots so close and the Dolphins can beat them, then doesn't that mean the Dolphins can beat the Patriots? I don't think it works that way necessarily. I know the Patriots had a couple close games here, but, after seeing what they were able to do against the Dolphins this year, it's not like you're talking about this team has gotten any better in the secondary. Cameron Worrell, who Randy Moss just totally dominated in that last game, Cameron Worrell is actually now on the injured reserve. So you're talking about a guy who got dominated is not even starting now. So they've gone even further in the depth chart. So when you look at the head-to-head matchups, I think that's most important, because a lot of times in the NFL, you know, certain teams can play certain teams better than others. And I just think that this Patriots team is going to have the Dolphins number on Sunday.
And yet, traditionally, the Dolphins have always played the Patriots tough. Dolphins are the last team to beat the Patriots in the regular season.
Yeah, very true. Exactly. That was kind of the ironic part about things going into this week before the Dolphins had that first win. It was obviously, there was a lot of appeal. The Dolphins' last loss last year was against the Dolphins, who had their last win. So, there's a little bit of the appeal gone, I think, to this game now that the Dolphins have one win. It's not the perfect game or the imperfect game, whatever you want to call it, from whichever angle. But, I still think that the thing that you have to think about, and this is an unfortunate thing for the Dolphins and a pretty good thing for the Patriots, is that it's still a matchup between the best team in the NFL against the worst team in the NFL. So I think when you really break it down that way, you start to realize that, in fact, the Patriots still probably have a pretty good edge here.
Well, you know, Jeff, we have a lot of draft picks here, like I'm sure you have there. Project forward to April and tell me what you think the Dolphins do with the first pick.
Well, it's going to be interesting because they have so many needs. You know, I really think if you have that first pick, and this is something that I've kind of been sold on in the past few weeks, Darren McFadden, I mean, you know, if you were to let Darren McFadden end up going to the Patriots, which could very likely happen if the Dolphins don't pick him, and you've got to play that guy every year and he turns into someone like Adrian Peterson, that's going to be a pretty big regret. So I don't know that you can let a guy like that get away, especially if they really think he's something special. But there are a lot of other needs. I mean, I would watch, this team really likes Jake Long, the left tackle from Michigan, and Glenn Dorsey, the defensive tackle from LSU. Those are two big needs on this team. So, those three guys, though, I think, McFadden, Dorsey from LSU, and then Jake Long from Michigan. I think that those three guys are going to be very closely watched by these Dolphins for that first pick.
Well, obviously, the Patriots holding on to the 49ers' first pick, the names of McFadden and Long have also entered into the conversation around here, which, of course, would never have happened otherwise.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's what's going to be so interesting, too. It's kind of odd. I mean, the Dolphins, I think, really have to think about what's going on with what the Patriots are thinking, because they're going to have to go against whatever guy the Patriots pick. And as we know down here, it's that can be a bad thing. I mean, look at, Wes Welker. When you send guys off and you have to play them again, the last thing you want to happen is for them to dominate you, because that's not only embarrassing and demoralizing, but you have to actually see the weapon that you could have had.
I would also ask you, Jeff, what you think the future of the quarterback situation would be, with Khalil Lemon obviously starting again this weekend, and how they feel about, John Beck, and whether or not they might decide to look at a quarterback in the draft.
Well, I don't necessarily think, I think they have enough needs that they don't need to do that, especially considering the crop of quarterbacks in this draft. I don't think you're looking at anybody that's, an obvious Jamarcus Russell or someone like that. I think that you're in a situation where some of the quarterbacks might be top 15 talent that could move into the top 8, top 9, top 7, because, that quarterback position is so important. But I don't think that there's necessarily a guy there that they want that bad. And I think that they haven't given up on John Beck yet. They still want to see John Beck for the future. I mean, very difficult, if not impossible, to judge what John Beck's worth is, considering what kind of talent and playmakers he has around him. I mean, he just doesn't have anybody right now to really make him better. I mean, you're talking about a rookie who's trying to make other people better. So I think that they're still waiting to see what they have in John Beck. And just because he was benched doesn't mean that they've given up on him. So to answer your question, I'd say no, I don't see them looking at a quarterback in the early pick of this draft.
Okay, good one. What do you think then, Jeff, is the immediate future for this football team? Where does it lie? What kind of shape are they really in, and can they turn it around from where they are right now in short order, or is it going to take a long time?
Well, it's pretty rough. It's pretty bad. And when you look at the depth, not only on the surface is there a lack of talent, but the depth of this team is just there's nothing there. And it'll be very interesting to see what kind of clean job they do. Last year in the offseason, one of the things that I really have faulted, a lot of these things are not Cam Cameron and Randy Mueller's fault. I think that they came into a pretty brutal situation. But one of the things that you do have to look at is last offseason they didn't sign a single guy other than Cameron Worrell to their secondary. They didn't really pick up any big-name free agents. They didn't really do much to improve that area. And then when they're starting to get decimated by injuries in that position, all of a sudden you're saying, if you had signed somebody, if you had looked at somebody else, maybe you wouldn't be in this spot. So I think that it's going to take a much bigger makeover this year than they did last year. All they did last year was pick up Joey Porter and Trent Green. This year I think it's going to require a whole lot more of a makeover, and I think you're going to see a total clean out of the roster. But I don't know. I don't see an immediate turnover here. I know that it happens a lot in the NFL where a team can go from really bad to really good, but if anything, I think this team should strive for going from really bad to maybe mediocre at this point.
Do you get to make the trip to New England this weekend?
Absolutely. I love Boston. Yep.
Bring your galoshes. We understand it could be wet.
Is that right? Yeah, I'm coming in Friday. If I can, even though I'm leaving this weather, if I can get an extra day in Boston, I'll definitely do that.
Well, come enjoy the chowder at the very least, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Excellent. Jeff, thanks for the time today. We appreciate it. We'll see you on Sunday.
All right, no problem.
Thanks. Jeff Darlington, again, who covers the Dolphins for the Miami Herald, joining us here inside Patriots Playbook. And so there you have the latest on the Dolphins, the possible change in ownership shares that could be coming up. The fact that Jason Taylor says he's going to play this weekend, although his foot's in a boot and he is not practicing today. Channing Crowder, the middle linebacker, had arthroscopic surgery. He is out for the final two games of the year for the Dolphins, so that further weakens them somewhat defensively. It'll be interesting to see what kind of a game plan Miami might actually come up with, knowing full well what happened to them in that 49-28 win earlier this year, or loss, I should say, that they had to the Patriots in Miami earlier this year. And the fact that it was 42-7 and the Patriots put it on cruise control and probably could have named the number had they really wanted to do so. For all of those that say the Patriots might have been guilty of running up the score, I would give you the earlier Miami game as Exhibit A of how they could have pummeled somebody 63-7 or whatever you want and didn't do it. And I think it's largely because it's a division opponent and the Patriots knew that they had to play the Dolphins again. So they just kind of reeled it in a little bit. Patriots have an opportunity, and I mentioned this yesterday and I'll mention it again right here and right now. They have an opportunity to do something that they have never done in their 48 years of history in the National Football League. No, it's not go undefeated. Well, not really. Not undefeated for the whole season. It is, however, going undefeated within the division. They have never gone undefeated within their division. Ever. Never been unbeaten in the AFC East. And they have a chance to do that with a win over Miami, and I'm sure that's something that has been talked about. You talk about focus, and this team focuses as well as any that has ever played in New England. Focuses maybe as well as, any Patriots team ever has, period. Any team that may exist in professional sports right now, it may focus better than any of them. And so if they are to focus on the task at hand, I'm guaranteeing you that is a part of this focus. You know what? Forget Miami's record. The fact is they won last week. They finally got off the schneid. They're going to be hungry. They want another one. This would cap their season. This would make their season with a win over the Patriots. And the fact that they've never been able to go undefeated within the East Division, ever. So it's kind of like, we have to do that before we can get to 16-0. We have to win this one. So let's go out and win this one. Let's focus on this one, no matter, how much we might have beaten them by earlier. We got to focus on this one. And this team does it, as well as anybody. And you know that as well as anybody else in terms of, the track record for this football team. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. And again, our question of the day is, who do you think, if anybody, on this Patriots team, who got snubbed in terms of the Pro Bowl rosters that were released late yesterday afternoon, early in the evening? Did anybody get snubbed? Was Welker one of those? Anybody else come to mind as someone who was Pro Bowl worthy or deserving of making the NFL All-Star game such as it is, and they did not get mentioned or they did not get selected? And when you do this, do me a favor. If you do find somebody on this Patriots team, and there's very good possibility you will. I selected Wes Welker, as I mentioned earlier, if you're just joining us. If you find somebody that you think is worthy, tell me who you think they should replace on the Pro Bowl roster. If you have somebody in there, who should they replace? It's one thing to say, Teddy Bruschi deserved to go this year, or Junior Seau, or Ty Warren deserved to go this year. That's fine. I understand that. You like them. You're a fan. It's great. But if you include them on the team, who do they replace on the roster? That's a legitimate question to ask. Because if you were actually going to include them on the team, then obviously they would have to replace somebody, wouldn't they? You can't just add. You got to subtract before you can add too. It's still got a, zero sum here. So who would they replace? Think about that. We're going to take a time out here. We'll come back and look at some of your emails. We still will hear from members of the Patriots team who reached the Pro Bowl with their selections yesterday. So you'll hear from some of those Patriots Pro Bowlers coming up later in the program, and Patriots head coach Bill Belichick from his conversation with members of Patriots media earlier today at Gillette Stadium. That's still to come inside the playbook.
He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pre-game field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers, mild and
hot sack attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots gridiron grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots gridiron grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Feeling a little like Christmas around here. Welcome back inside Patriots Playbook. It is, of course, the week prior to the holiday. I'm John Rook, and I don't know if you're feeling in the holiday spirit or not, but I hope that the Patriots play this year has certainly helped put a little extra giddy up in your step, no matter where you may be listening to us here today. As the Patriots are 14-0, they're trying to make it 15-0 with a win over the Miami Dolphins this Sunday, a couple of days before Christmas holiday. Web radio at patriots.com, the email address. And again, we're talking a little about the Pro Bowl selections yesterday. 8 Patriot players selected to the team. Was there an omission in your estimation? Was there a glaring one? Was there somebody else you thought that was Pro Bowl worthy? Based on your observation or what you've read or what you followed, was there someone that was worthy that you were surprised didn't get named or didn't get mentioned, or maybe you were just surprised that there wasn't more talk about this particular player? That's where I'm going with this. Web radio at patriots.com. Part of the conversation we had yesterday has to do with, you know, what records you thought, you know, might not be set based on this return to normalcy, if you will, in the overall picture of the offense over the last 4 weeks or so. Ray sends this note. He says, the one record that I think will not be broken by the Patriots, it's a single-season passing yards record. Tommy needs 849 yards in 2 games, not going to happen. Yeah, I would have to agree. That was the most likely one that could have fallen, oh, shall we say, 5 or 6 weeks ago, that you looked at if you, you know, computed it out over a prorated basis, that certainly had a chance to go. There was an opportunity for him to throw for 5,000 yards this year, but obviously doesn't look like that's going to happen now. The other one I think that we kind of came to at least a semi-conclusion on was the touchdown record. 50 touchdown passes that he needs in order to pass Peyton Manning. He needs 5 in the next 2 weeks. If he doesn't get them this week, he may not get them. Now, let me also add this, but I learned earlier today from Cold Hard Football Facts that Peyton Manning, when he threw the 49 touchdown passes, he did it in 15 weeks, kids. The last game of the season, a few years ago when he set the 49, he took, I think, maybe a couple of snaps in that 16th game and really did not play at all in that last week. So he threw his 49 touchdown passes in 15 weeks. So there's no doubt in my mind that unless Tom Brady can throw at least 4 this week, in other words, if he throws 3 this week and 2 the following week, big asterisk in the minds of a lot of fans and even probably a lot of the media. They will make that comparison. I'm telling you right now, you will see and you will hear that argument. Oh, Brady didn't do it. He did it in one more week than when Peyton Manning did it. And it's just going to give Colts fans and the Manning, those that support Peyton Manning in this Brady versus Manning argument, as silly as it may be, just going to give them more fodder for the cannon. Now, if he can throw 5 this week, well, you know, against Miami, then, you know, it's a moot point. But I'm just saying, you know, Manning threw his 49 in 15 weeks. So think about that for a second. And, you know, that's what I think makes this record breakable a little bit more difficult to overcome when you think about it. He needs to throw at least 4, I think, this week and at least tie the record. And then he could use the last week for breaking the record, because then you could say, well, you know, he certainly didn't do any worse than Peyton Manning did if he can throw 4. That's where that, you know, that touchdown run that Lawrence Maroney had last week, you know, the 1-yarder. You know, based on what they've done all season long, it makes that call curiouser and curiouser, because the Patriots throw, and we've seen them throw, you know, with only needing to gain 1 yard, and yet they let Lawrence Maroney run the ball in. So, you know, that might have been one that the Pats kind of missed out on a chance on. Stripper sends this note. He says, do you agree with Len Pasquarelli of ESPN.com? Do you agree with his Pro Bowl snubs? And he has Mario Williams, who had 13 sacks, Charles Woodson, Fred Taylor, James Ferrier on his list here. I would have to say, in particular, yes, I do agree with Mario Williams and Fred Taylor. Woodson and Ferrier, I think, a little less so, but definitely Williams and Taylor. I agree that, yeah, those probably are the two biggest Pro Bowl snubs, offensively speaking, certainly, or, and well, defensively certain, from Williams' case, in the AFC, no doubt. No doubt. By far and away. I personally, again, you know, I think Welker deserves to be there, although you really can't argue with Braylon Edwards, so it's probably not thought of as a snub in the overall scheme of things, per se. But looking at this from, you know, Patriots colored glasses, as we do on this program, yeah, you'd have to say that certainly a guy like Welker, the fact that he is going to end up setting, you know, unless somehow we all fall off the face of the earth here in the next couple of weeks, he's going to end up setting the Patriots single season record for receptions. How is that not Pro Bowl worthy? You know, he's caught for 1,000 yards, and I realize that's probably only, what, 12th, 13th, 14th, maybe in yardage in the league, been several thousand-yard receivers this year. But overall, I mean, he has been the safety net. He's been the guy. He's been the go-to guy for Tom Brady when the Patriots have needed tough yardage, especially more so without Sammy Morris able to run the football for the tough yards that he got early in the year between the tackles. That would be the argument that I would make in this instance. Let's see, who else here? A couple of other emails we want to share with you, and then we're going to get you inside the locker room. Diane, our friend from Bridgeport, Connecticut, says, John, hi, I agree with you on Wes Welker. He should have been selected to the Pro Bowl. Receptions, first downs, third downs, key receptions. Brady picked him to catch the ball. That's a very good point, Diane. That's a very, very good point. Brady did pick him. Brady was confident enough to go to him when the going was tough, when he needed the yardage, when he had to check off and couldn't find Randy Moss open, or couldn't find Dante Stallworth open, or couldn't find Benjamin Watson open, or couldn't find Jabbar Gaffney open, who does he go to? He goes to Welker because he knows he's open over the middle. Short receptions, short yardage. He's open. And I would argue that it's tougher to get open when you're not as far downfield. You have less room to work with. You have more traffic in terms of the defense in which you must maneuver around. I would argue that it takes a certain cunning in order to be able to get open in a short yardage situation, more so than a physically talented receiver, say like, oh, I don't know, a Braylon Edwards, who certainly can utilize his athleticism to get open in, you know, in that 12 to 18 yard range and beyond. I think it takes a unique player. I'm selling the attributes of Wes Welker. That's all I'm doing here. Never said that someone else really didn't deserve it, but if you have to replace somebody, you have to bump somebody in order to add your choice, I personally would have added Welker over Edwards. It doesn't mean Edwards isn't worthy. Good stuff, Diane. Good stuff. Let me get one more in here. Scott, our friend in Washington, D.C., says, John, did I hear you say Wayne Izenga is interested in selling a portion of the Dolphins? If so, could that be the team that Curtis Martin might try to buy a part of? There was a story a month ago or so about Martin's interest in buying into a team and how he was actually having meetings about it, so it was more than just a passing fancy. Just curious. You know, I actually kind of glanced at that story, and honestly, Scott, I didn't really even pay it any attention because I thought, well, you know, how serious is that? You know, because you hear of athletes, you know, when they're done with their playing days, wanting to move into, you know, management slash ownership. I mean, Michael Jordan's a perfect example, and he's had a less than stellar, shall we say, management career thus far. You could even say he's even failed to an extent. And so when you hear about players wanting to be owners, I mean, Mario Lemieux is another good story, the Pittsburgh Penguins. I mean, you know, he hadn't had a great amount of success here in turning his franchise around. They've had some wins. They've done okay. But, I mean, you know, nothing really that, you know, you could write home to mama about, as the saying goes. So I guess I really didn't pay it a whole lot of attention, even though I do recall kind of glancing through that and saw it and didn't really give it more than just a passing glance. And who knows? That could very well be. This might be a way for him to get a foot in the door, You're not looking for majority ownership. But my guess is, based on what Jeff Darlington from the Miami Herald told us here earlier today on the program, my guess is that Huizenga would look to find somebody who would join in a minority ownership here that would be local. Because when he decides to leave the team, as Jeff told us, his family has no desire to take over. When he retires, and he's 70 years old, when he retires, he has nobody really to pass the team on to. So it's going to take someone who would assume the majority interest in the team and who undoubtedly would keep it in Miami, keep it in South Florida. I don't think he would sell to anyone who might even have an inkling of maybe say, oh, I don't know, taking it to L.A. or something like that. So I would think that he would probably look at South Florida interests first, unless Martin could be a part of, shall we say, a conglomerate of several people that percentage-wise, you put it together, would add up to the 49% that a guy like Huizenga is looking for. Maybe. Interesting. All right, good stuff. All right, let's get you inside the locker room. And as we mentioned earlier, you are going to hear from some of the Patriots pro bowlers in the conversations within the Patriots locker room today. We'll also let you hear from Wes Welker himself, the one Patriot that I personally believe is probably the Patriot most worthy of the snub honor in terms of the Pro Bowl selections. But you will also hear, after Wes Welker, you'll hear from pro bowlers Matt Light and Mike Vrabel, Logan Mankins, and Dan Copen. In that order, and then we'll wrap it up with Rodney Harrison and his comments on his teammates being selected to the Pro Bowl. So let's get inside the Patriots locker room.
Starting to come to this final home game, believe it or not.
Yeah, you know, we got home game this week again, and we got to take advantage of that and make sure that, you know, we get used to these conditions and make sure we're ready to go this weekend.
There's a lot of talk about accomplishments. What this week would give you would be a perfect record within the division. Bill talked about that a little bit. Just talk about what that would mean for you guys to go through your division undefeated.
You know, it's big. Anytime, you know, you can win every game in your division and make sure that you're competitive there and trying to make things happen. So, you know, we definitely have an opportunity to do that and need to make sure that we take care of business through the week and make sure we're ready on Sunday.
And I know you guys respect every opponent, but he's looking at opponent this week with one win. Now, you played for this team. Talk to us in your opinion about what is going on with this team, why they're only a one-win team.
Well, you know, you look at a lot of their games, you know, they've had six games where they've only, you know, lost by 3 points, you know, where games could have gone either way and really 3 points or less. So, you know, they've had a lot of close games and they've been in a lot of them. And so we're going to have our hands full this week and we need to make sure that, you know, we're taking care of our side of the deal and ready to go this weekend.
With Miami coming into town, I understand you guys are very focused 1 week at a time, one game at a time, but have you had time to sit back and reflect how different your life is now as opposed it was to this time last year? More wins, more media coverage?
You know what? I haven't had a chance to really think about it. You know, I've been so consumed with make sure I'm getting ready for each game each week and make sure I'm staying on top of our game plans and you know, I have plenty of time to do all that in the off season right now, just kind of focused on, you know, week-to-week basis, getting ready for Miami.
I know the mantra is always one game at a time, 1 week, focus on, but back in your mind thinking some of those 72 Dolphins might be floating around somewhere because you know how they love to travel when other teams are on the verge of, you know, knocking off their record?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's up to them where they travel or not, but you know, we're just going out there and focusing on our job and playing some winning football out there. Yeah, you know, it's exciting and, you know, it's fun to see, you know, other guys you played with. And so, you know, it'll definitely be a fun afternoon on Sunday.
Matt Light.
What do you got? Well, I'd say it's a great honor and, you know, I think we all take it in stride and know that, you know, it's a team accomplishment. You know, I think that winning, obviously is a big factor in, you know, deciding on which guys from which teams go. And, you know, we've had a great season this year and a lot of guys have really worked hard and a lot of these guys deserve this. And, you know, personally, I just, you know, feel honored to be among those guys.
What advice are you going to give the Mankins and Copen about going to Hawaii?
Not much. No. Not much. Yeah. We'll all figure it out. We're planning on surfing a lot, you know, because 310 to 20 pound milky white guys look great on a surfboard. So,
what kind of SPF are those guys going to be?
Lots, yeah. Yeah, so, all right, good talk. You guys are awesome, seriously.
You guys on the right side of the line jealous?
No, no, you know, we, you know, no, I don't think anybody expects anything. You know, we, you know, we all come in here and we all put in the same amount of hours and we all work hard at doing, you know, our individual job. You know, like I said, this is a team honor, you know, without the rest of these guys playing well and without our success, you know, this wouldn't be possible for any of us. So, you know, we're pretty, pretty pleased, obviously, but, we have a lot of other goals to work on so far.
Did you scout out the place to eat for you guys out there last year when you were there? So you guys will have a place to go.
Yeah, we usually let our noses lead us into that, the right spot for the food. I'm sure we'll be well fed. Yeah, that's usually never an issue.
What's the offensive line this year in keeping the sack totals low, interception totals low, keeping, you know, Tom pretty clean? What's been the difference?
Well, you know, we've been fairly healthy. You know, Steve's obviously, you know, been in and out a little bit, but you know, for the most part, I think we've been pretty healthy. And you know, we got a great group of guys. You know, we enjoy each other's company. We enjoy working together. You know, we've got a lot of camaraderie, and you know, really, I mean, I think we've just taken it upon ourselves to try to improve each week and do all the little things, especially in the off season. You know, most of these guys were around. I think our whole line was here in the off season, so. I think that all paid off, you know, a lot of hard work and just, you know, understanding how our system works and what we need to do.
And how big has the continuity been? Most of you guys, I think maybe except for Ryan, have been here at least 3 years. How big has that been?
Yeah, I mean, it's been huge. The last 3 years have been, you know, great learning experiences. Each year you come out and you say you want to do it better, and I think that we've, you know, tried to improve each season. And this year's kind of been, you know, it's culminated in us understanding each other and really getting to know what the guy next to us is doing. And like you said, we've just been fortunate enough to stay healthy and stay together. And that's a big part of offensive line play.
Matt, this is not a 1-14 or 1-13 team coming out. Obviously, these guys still get after, especially defensively as well.
That is the last time the camera guy is allowed to ask the question, darn it. You are not a one-man operation. I'm sorry. That was awesome. I wasn't expecting. I thought maybe there was another guy back there. No, you know, we don't look at records. You know, really, records don't mean anything. We all know that. You know, any given Sunday, that's how it is in this league. And you know, we don't take anything for granted. You know, whatever teams come in here, we've talked about it all season. We're gonna get their best shot. And this is obviously, you know, this is a divisional game. That you know, these guys have come up here and put up some big numbers on us in the past, and we've been down there and had a pretty good record and walked away with a loss. So you know, for us, this is going to be a very physical game. It's going to come down to, you know, doing all the little things right and just out executing them. That's what we're going to have to do. So big week.
Matt, you talked about goals. What are the goals going forward, say over the next couple games?
Well, you know, constantly improving. I mean, we always talk about in December playing your best football, so that you can, you know, take that momentum into the postseason. And, you know, for us, you know, offensively, you know, we got to continue to do some of the things that we've done well, and we got to, you know, get better at some of the things that we haven't done so well, especially in the last few games. You know, but, you know, we set our goals high. We have a lot of goals each week, and, you know, it's never perfect out there, unfortunately. So there's always something to work on, and you know, we're going to just keep doing all the little things, and hopefully we can get a little better over the next two.
Mike Vrabel.
You know, with the amount of guys that we have going, and certainly, you know, we don't have to stop at eight guys. You know, we got a lot of good guys, that a lot of good football players. And so, if the team has good success, then you know, players get noticed.
What does it mean to you to go through the division undefeated? That's your next accomplishment here with a chance to do that.
Well, I mean, we talk about that every year, and that's our first goal. You know, when the season starts, and Bill meets with us in the summer and the off season is winning our division and trying to win all our games in our division, because it is difficult. Teams know you fairly well. We've had games that are tight games in the division every year. You know, when we've won the Super Bowl and when we've gone deep into the playoffs, we've had tight games in our division.
Is it difficult to prepare for a team like Miami because they've had a lot of injuries, because they have different personnel shuffling in and out?
Well, I think for me, defensively, the line looks the same. The tight ends are the same. Certainly Ronnie Brown's not there, but you know, they've good backs, good change of pace backs. They've got three different guys that bring something different to the table. So I know that they've had injuries, but the injuries they have really haven't affected me and my preparation and who I'm looking at. I'm still looking at the tackles that are same, still carry, and, you know, Clement, and it's right on down the line.
Glad you don't have to go against Wes Welker now?
Well, certainly glad that he's, you know, on our team, and I think that's part of the reason Sammy and Wes, and, you know, when you play well against us and have success against us, certainly it gets guys like Bill and Scott's attention, and, you know, if you can't beat them, you know, try to get them to join you.
What were your emotions upon finding out that you?
Well, I mean, I was excited, obviously. I'm just happy for everybody else on, you know, on our football team that got voted in and got selected. You know, and it's a culmination of, you know, playing well and having, you know, a good record as a team. I mean, we play a lot of games on national TV, so there's, you play well in those games and fans see them and they vote accordingly.
Gratifying.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was just happy for all the guys that made it. And certainly, you know, Vince, week in and week out, what he does and is able to do and take the kind of blocking, you know, two and three guys at a time, goes out and does his job. And then, you know, Asante, obviously his coverage skills and his playmaking ability. It's great. I mean, I think we have guys that, you know, certainly, you know, I like to think that, you know, Ty Warren and I do a pretty good job over there on the left side, and so I, you know, a lot of credit, you know, for my play is attributed to Ty, and, you know, I think he would say the same thing about me.
Gratifying the improvements you guys have made in the red zone over the last year.
Well, I mean, it's been there. I don't know where we're at. We're probably still
second.
Yeah, we're not in the bottom. Well, the bottom third.
Yeah,
I figured. But I think if we could string them together and at least it seems like it goes one way or the other. It's either 0-4 in stops or, you know, 4-0 down there for us. So there's really, you know, we're either, you know, castle or outhouse. We're either really good or we're either really bad.
Is there anything either you're hoping to accomplish this week and next, or what you're hoping to?
Well, I mean, I think the same thing that we try to accomplish every week, Karen, is go out and work hard in our preparation. You know, try to be as healthy as you can going into the game and play hard and try to win a football game. I mean, that's what we've done at least since I've ever been here and when you play football. I mean, you go out there, you know, you line up and you play. I mean, it is basic. I mean, I don't think that, you know, we could say that, you know, you can improve on a whole lot, but there's certainly things that you want to work at and, you know, try not to go backwards on. I think you want to just start trying to play your best football at this time of year.
Like, I don't know if you already said about being selected for Pro Bowl, but, I mean, that's an accomplishment as voted by, you know, coaches and other players in the league. What does it mean to you?
Well, I mean, I think it's certainly it's an honor, one that, you know, I haven't had, you know, the opportunity to have before. So, you know, being in my 11th year, being close, being on great teams, you know, winning Super Bowls obviously are first and foremost, but, you know, this will be something that, you know, I can look back on and say, you know, that after 11 years that I was voted in.
Matt Light talked about he's going to do a little surfing out there. Are you going to join him?
No, I think right now I don't even know what I'm going to – I haven't really put much thought into it. I just, you know, I'm happy to be voted in by the players and the coaches and the fans. So, you know, we just haven't given it much thought, really.
Hogan Mankins.
Not yet, but I'm sure we'll have a good time over there since there's a few of us going, and we'll have some fun in Hawaii.
You work with your other line mates day in and day out. How gratifying is it to go with two people you work with every day?
Oh, it's nice. It's you're going someplace, and you got your friends going with you, so that always makes it nice.
How cool is it also, week in, week out, you know, with guys like Brady Moss, all the headlines with the points the offense mm-hmm. getting up, and, you know, the unheralded guys. Now you got three of you.
Yeah.
Kind of stick at it, you know.
Yeah, that's nice. I don't know if it's sticking to them because they're going too, but it's nice that we get to go. So.
How much of a team accomplishment is it to have eight guys on the team going away?
That's a big deal. Well, we're having a good season, as everyone knows, and the guys are playing good, and we got a lot of good guys on defense, and they got some credit, and we got good players on offense, and we've got some credit.
Coach was saying one of the things he was saying was more of a commentary on the success of the team. Would you say that's the case?
Oh, yeah. You're not going to send this many guys unless you have a good season. And like our linemen that didn't go, they had a good season too, and we wouldn't have success if they didn't play good. And our running backs played good, and they help us, and Tom helps us, and our receivers help us. So it's a team accomplishment.
Oftentimes with the Pro Bowl, once you kind of get named once, it seems that the momentum builds after that. Are you excited about getting it this early in your career and building up a few?
Yeah, you know, I haven't thought that far ahead yet. Just trying to get ready for the Dolphins right now. I'll worry about the Pro Bowl when the season's over. And right now I just want to keep winning games and keep making this season be nice.
Have you ever been to Hawaii?
I've been over there to play in college, but that's it.
How much of the beards play a role in the
success of this group? I don't know. Keeps your face warm, though.
So you'll be able to shave them off by the time you get to Hawaii.
Yeah, it might be too warm over there to rock in the beard.
Dan Copen.
Well, what are the thoughts for yourself and two other guys on the line to be going to Hawaii?
Excited. You know, it's a great honor to have the peers and coaches around the league and vote for you, and especially the fans. But you know, that's in February. We got a lot more things that we're concerned about coming up now. So, but other than that, I'm just really excited. I was really glad to hear the news. But as a team, we got a lot more football we want to play before then.
But that being said, the fact that there are so many guys speaks to the level the team has had overall this year. Is that?
Yeah, probably. You know, winning has something to do with that. But, you know, those guys are going out and playing hard every play. So it's good to see that, you know, the guys get some credit and, you know, they deserve it.
Dan, when Tom has a game that may not be up to his expectations, which I know is tremendously high, how would you characterize the way he approaches the week after? In other words, going into next game?
You know, I don't think he approaches any week any differently. You know, maybe he wants to play a little bit better, but, you know, he comes in every week, and he's the first one here. He's the last one to leave. He puts so much into his game and helping everybody around him develop their game. You know, it's hard to say that if he doesn't have it 1 week that he comes in the next week and is working that much harder, because he really does it all the time.
How much of a key has the continuity of the guys on the line, who most of you guys have been here for at least two, three, four years together? How much has that played a role in the success you guys have had?
You know, it plays a role. You know, knowing the guy around you, and especially the guys around you, has a lot to do with line play. It's just who you feel comfortable with. You know what they're going to do. They know what you're going to do. So when you have that continuity and trust along the line, it helps a great deal.
Is this Tom's best year individually? Have you seen him do things this year that he hasn't done in the past? Obviously, he has different receivers, but just smaller things that maybe he's at, you know, the top of his game.
That's kind of hard to answer right now because, you know, we're so involved in the season. It's kind of hard to look outside. You know, I couldn't even tell you anybody's best year or something like that. It's just you're so involved with the weeks, you just try and focus on that week and not look past or future.
Putting aside all the touchdown stats, passing yard stats and all that, how much pride do you guys take as an offense as a whole in the low sack totals, low interception totals, keeping Tom clean? How much pride do you take in that?
And that's our job. You know, we got to take a great deal of pride in that. It's our responsibility to keep guys off them and give them time to throw the ball. And, you know, everybody's involved here. The receiver's got to get open. Back's got to block. We got to block. And, you know, Tom's got to find the guy. So when we're being successful, it's because everybody's performing.
And one thing this team has never been able to do is go undefeated in the division. Is that a little bit of extra motivation this week to be able to wrap that up?
You know, I think the motivation is we're playing Miami on Sunday. You know, it's one of our rivals and a great opponent. And, you know, just going out there and play is motivation enough.
Ronnie Harrison.
Tom was saying that you guys don't
talk. Tom, who?
Brady.
Who? Oh, okay, Brady. Oh.
12. He was saying a little while ago that you guys don't talk amongst yourselves about possibly going undefeated. But, I mean, when someone mentions it to you, say, like, a friend or a neighbor or a relative, do you say we're only focused on?
I hang up the phone. I hang up the phone, plain and simple. If someone mentions something about an undefeated season, I hang up the phone, and that's the way I maintain my focus, and I keep it off of Channel 5, 2, 7, ESPN, and all these other crazy shows. So really, it's, you know, it's just week to week. Everything's week to week. Records mean nothing in this league. It's all about, you know, just improving and getting ready from week to week.
What's kind of rude, though, isn't it?
What's that?
Just
I'm dead serious.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I told him, don't mention anything about undefeated season. If you do, I'm hanging up. So if it's rude, I'm sorry. They'll forgive me after the season.
What are the greatest areas you'd like to see?
Just consistency overall, you know, in our tackling and, you know, red zone has picked up the last couple of games, just making sure as we continue to play on that, you know, the tackling and the red zone issues are dealt with, making sure we don't blow any assignments. Of course, turnovers, getting the ball and not turning it over. Those are all areas that we try to focus on.
Is the goal to kind of peak for the playoffs, to kind of be playing, play at your best?
The goal is to peak this week and not even worry about it. I mean, that's so far. I mean, so many things can happen in one game. You don't worry about what's going to happen 3-4 weeks from now. It's about this week, and I think that's disrespectful to even think about the playoffs. You know, you got the Miami Dolphins coming to town, a team that's played us tough historically.
I'm guessing you don't feel you as a group are playing particularly well.
We're not playing great football. We're not playing terrible, but we're not playing great. We have a lot of areas that we can improve on, and that's what we're doing today. We have full pads on, and it's not like we're letting up.
Have you seen any change in time as he's piled up these numbers? I mean, is he still the same guy personally that he was last year and the year before? I mean, he's not the kind of guy.
What are you talking about? Personal?
Well, just anything going to his head, Brady.
You know, anything going to his head?
Like 45 touchdowns. He's the same old guy that.
Well, when you see him here at 6:15 in the morning lifting weights, watching film, and working out, I think that's not a sign of a guy that's getting a big head or getting beside himself. Because most of the time, if a guy's getting cocky, guess what? He's relaxing on his laurels and everything that he's done, and that's not Tom Brady. You would never hear him mention about, you know, how many passes he's had. I've joked one time, I think, when he threw 4 or 5 touchdowns one game, and he was like, what, did you see, you know, the 3 incompletions I had that I should have hit? And that's the type of guy he is. He always focuses on, you know, not his success, but the things that he can improve on.
Brady, can you understand why some of the 72 Dolphins are rooting against you guys?
I was born in 1972. That's the only thing that concerns me about 1972. I was born in 1972. Whereas you probably were born in 84, right?
No.
When were you born?
79.
Oh, okay.
I look youthful.
You look young. You look young.
Like you.
Good, good.
I don't age that well.
What month were you born?
December.
December?
15th.
December 15th?
Hey, that just gives you guys one more reason to say he's old, he's washed up. So, 35, thank you.
The day before they won their 14th game, right? December 16th, they won their 14th game.
Man, we're not focused on what they think and what they had an unbelievable squad. And when did they win their 14th game?
I think December 16th.
A day after I was born? I was one day old.
What did you think of that?
Didn't care then either. Anything else? No, 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 no. I became a little crazy. Then I decided to play football. So. All right. Now have a nice day.
Jabbar Gaffney.
Belichick still finds a way to give it to you guys pretty good. How does he coach you guys so much to stay motivated week after week, despite what everyone's saying?
with his humble pie. I mean, he comes in and makes the corrections off the game. I mean, not just rest on, okay, we want another one. He comes in and shows us the things that we can improve on, that we need to improve on in order to be a good team and keep winning.
How do you block it all out? I mean, you guys are getting text messages from family, from friends. I'm sure you hear some of it, despite what you guys say. I mean, how do you find a way to block it out and come in here and do your job every day?
Oh, just coming in our team meeting. As soon as we get in there, I mean, everything else goes aside, and Coach gives a speech, and, I mean, we just go from there.
What do you guys see about Miami this week and ways that you can improve again and become 15-0?
It's a lot of stuff we need to work on. And Miami, they're coming in here. They're fired to have coming off their win. So, I mean, they're going to come in here and give it their all. We got to improve. We can't go out there and play like we played last week.
Thank you, Barry. All right, Zach. How would you characterize the offense over the last month or so?
Just still working. I mean, we're working. We've done some good things, but a lot of things that we need to improve on and down the stretch.
Any of it weather-related?
No, I mean, it's us. It's us. I mean, we got to improve. I mean, we're not playing the weather. We're playing the opposing team. So, I mean, we got to be able to get it done in that weather. We're going to have we got all the home field advantage in the playoffs. So, I mean, we're going to be out there in the elements. So, we got to get it done.
Thank you.
Jabbar, does your approach the next 2 weeks change because you guys have home field advantage?
No, we're taking it one at a time. I mean, so and we got the Dolphins coming in here, and then we'll be going to the Giants. So, I mean, we got to take each game as they come.
That's Jabbar Gaffney, of course, of the New England Patriots, to wrap up our locker room interviews as we welcome you inside hour number two of the Patriots Playbook for a Wednesday. I'm John Rook. Pats and the Dolphins in the last home game of the regular season at Gillette Stadium coming up Sunday. It is a 4:15 Eastern Time kickoff. It was a flex game, so it's moved to the afternoon game, so it'll be the second half of a doubleheader on CBS television. Of course, the Patriots will wrap up the regular season at the New York Giants in Week 17. Next week, it'll be on a Saturday, in fact, instead of a Sunday, but this will be the final home game of the regular season, and then, of course, you've got one more at least to play at home in the opening round of the playoffs after an opening round bye. Maybe two more after this weekend. If, of course, you're lucky to win the first one, then you could conceivably host the AFC Championship game at Gillette before all is said and done on the weekend of January 20th. So, that is all still to come. The email question of the day that we were talking about in hour number one today had to do with if you thought that there was a Patriots player that was snubbed for the Pro Bowl. And based on the reaction that I've received thus far, my guess is that no, everybody says this is probably pretty good. It's probably pretty much about right. You know, the eight guys that got onto the team, that's about right. You know, wasn't anything that was just really terrifically bad. You know, so I guess that's okay. That's fine. Nice to know in that particular instance that you kind of, you know, agree and go along with all that stuff. Let me throw this out at you, though, because I can actually think that this might be a little bit more of a different story. Did you see the article on SI, and I guess it's SI.com, Don Banks wrote about the potential coach of the year in the NFL? Now, Don Banks was asked, apparently in a radio interview earlier this week, if he thought that, you know, the whole Spygate episode might keep a guy like Bill Belichick from really seriously being considered as coach of the year in the NFL. And frankly, why shouldn't he be?
What, are you kidding me?
Well, you know, nobody will have ever gone 16-0 before if the Patriots go 16-0. So by virtue of the fact that that's never been done by a team or a coach before, it's got to be considered. However, Spygate apparently is a bit of a factor for several people who vote. Now, the coach of the year is not subject to, you know, fans and players and administrators around the league. Coach of the year is a poll done by the Associated Press. There are 50 votes, so I'm told, by members of Football Writers Association of America, I guess, who will cover this and vote on this for the Associated Press. So it's the AP that actually does the actual naming of the coach of the year in the NFL. And Don Banks of Sports Illustrated actually went out and polled half a dozen of his fellow writers who have votes for the Associated Press and will be voting on the Coach of the Year Award in the NFL, and to find out what they thought and whether or not Spygate will actually be a factor in their decision-making process. He got mixed reaction, and frankly, I guess nobody should really be surprised with this. I'd like to know how you feel if Coach Belichick and the Patriots are able to finish this season 16-0 when the voting gets done. I guess the voting is done before the playoffs are over, so you can't include necessarily the Super Bowl stuff.
I can't wait.
Playoff stuff. Yeah, I know. But at any rate, should Bill Belichick be named Coach of the Year if the Patriots go 16-0. I'm guessing again that many of you think yes, but I'm also thinking that there might be a few of you that would say, well, no, and here's why. Doesn't make me any less of a Patriots fan, but here's why. So I wanted to give you the chance to sound off on that. Let me give you just a couple of quick examples. Number one, Rick Gosselin, who's a longtime NFL writer for the Dallas Morning News, one of the best sports sections for my money in the country. He says, if he goes 16-0, I don't see how you don't give it to Belichick. I think it's a slam dunk. If they go 16-0, the bottom line is he's done something that no one in the history of football has ever done. How do you deny him, and how do you deny that? This is not like he's going 12-4. I don't think there's anything to grapple with. I don't understand the issue. Now, if he was caught doing something illegal in Week 16, well, then you'd have a debate. But that is a great football team, regardless of whether they were taping in the first half of the opener of the Jets or not, and that is a great coach. All right, so that's Rick Goslin, who is well-respected for his opinions as a beat writer, NFL beat writer for the Dallas Morning News. Now, let me give you the other side of the story here in the interest of fair reporting, obviously. We're not all Homer Patriots all the time around here, as some would lead you to believe. I'd like to present both sides of the story and let you make up your minds.
Let me guess, Greg Judge. Easterbrook.
Yes, no, not Greg Easterbrook. Not Greg Easterbrook, believe it or not. You know, he pounds against the Patriots all season long. I think we all know that. This is Clark Judge of CBSSportsLine.com. And he says, I wouldn't vote for him. He says it's the Sean Merriman rule. If you break the rules, you're not eligible. People said everyone's doing it. Yeah, well, one guy got caught, and the league thought enough of it to fine him $500,000 and take away a first-round draft pick. That's pretty serious. That's a severe, severe penalty. Clark adds, to me, you can't have it both ways. If Merriman can't win it, of course, last year the debate was, you know, he missed four games because of the steroid suspension, so he shouldn't have been eligible for Defensive Player of the Year in the NFL, and obviously that was an award that Jason Taylor ultimately won a year ago. But he says if Merriman can't win it, he was obviously, we know, after the season was over, there was a rule that was put into place that you can't win it if you're serving a suspension. So Merriman can't win it. Why should a coach be able to win it? Should we hold Belichick to a different standard? I don't think so. If you break the rules, there are repercussions, and this is one of the repercussions. So there's both sides of the story. Let me also present a third side, because there really is. There are those that believe that regardless of what Bill Belichick does with Spygate, you know, involved or not, that his coaching job of the Patriots this year may still not be the best overall coaching job in the NFL. And, okay, so now you're running through all the teams. Well, who? Well, Ed Bouchette, who's the longtime Steelers beat writer for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, he says, I'm going to vote for Mike McCarthy of Green Bay, in part because of Spygate, but I just think Green Bay has done a tremendous job with so much less. Bouchette says, I do believe that Spygate will be an issue for voters. It has besmirched their record a little bit. The guy was punished for illegally trying to win. My feeling is, to those people who say it wasn't that big of a deal, then why did he feel the need to do it? If he could win without it, then why did he feel the need to take that advantage? I've been thinking about it all along this season. I don't know that I could vote for him. But he says, I'm voting for Mike McCarthy of Green Bay anyway. All right, so that's a different take. And there are a couple of others. Bob Glauber, who covers the NFL for New York Newsday, he says he's actually leaning toward McCarthy or Cleveland's Romeo Crennel, who has the Browns on the precipice of the playoffs for the first time since 2002. Pete Prisco of CBSSportsLine.com says, you know, he doesn't think that you can disqualify Belichick based on the perceived stain of Spygate. Prisco's comment is, I think it's ludicrous to even be an issue. If you're not cheating, you're not trying. But I don't think he's going to be coach of the year. He says, I think McCarthy should be. He's got the youngest team in the league. That gets lost a little because he's got the old guy at Favre, in Favre and playing quarterback, but he's got the youngest players in the league, and he might end up with just two fewer wins than Belichick. So there's some different perspectives for you. There's some different reasons for you. Which camp do you fall in? Webradio at patriots.com. That's how you send us your thoughts, and if you have some quick thoughts on that, by all means, fire it off. I frankly believe that the Green Bay Mike McCarthy thing, I don't know that I'm buying that as much. There's no question that if Green Bay ends up 14-2, whether they're the top seed or the two seed in the NFC, there's no question that's a tremendous season. And nobody, I mean nobody, not even in Green Bay, not even Brett Favre's wildest dreams, nobody thought that Green Bay would be 14-2. So I guess in that sense, you can understand why some of these writers are giving McCarthy a lot of credit. And I guess, you know, he should get some credit for it. But I kind of look at it in more of a bigger view finder here, simply because the NFC, while they might, and you could make some arguments for them closing the gap talent-wise and competition-wise with the AFC, I still think they're behind the AFC. So I think going 16-0 in the AFC is a heck of a lot greater than going 14-2 in a so-so NFC. I think if you went 15-1 in the AFC, it's still a bigger deal than going 14-2 in the NFC, even if you weren't expected to go 14-2. Again, just my opinion. How do you think about it? How do you feel about it? Webradio@patriots.com. All right, we'll get to some of your comments on that in a little bit. Right now, though, let's give you a chance to listen in to Patriots quarterback Tom Brady, who again is headed to the Pro Bowl, as we've suggested, for a fourth time. That's more than any other Patriots quarterback in franchise history. So he certainly got that of note to hang on his mantle or on his wall. And he also managed to speak with members of the Patriots media. Here's Tom Brady.
How do you feel about the Pro Bowl?
How do I feel about the Pro Bowl? You know, obviously it's always an honor to be selected and to have your peers recognize you and the fans and coaches. It's always a very nice thing. And I think, you know, you'll probably look back at the end of your career and appreciate it. But, you know, this is certainly a team game. And we've got a bunch of players who I thought were very as it's been all season, it's been a fun year because it's been such a team effort. And the way the receivers played, the way the offensive line's protected, the way the running backs have run the ball, we got terrific coaches, and it's been fun. It's been fun. I could say this, though, the 14 wins are a hell of a lot better than any selection to any All-Star game.
Did it gratify you, though, to see three of your linemen protect you all year long, get noted for it?
Yeah, that's more fun for me than having selected myself, seeing my teammates go and my friends, and especially the guys who it's their first year. So I know they're very excited, and I know the team is excited for them, as they should be recognized because they've done a great job.
Are you guys talking among yourselves about how close you are to making history?
Never.
No.
No.
That's
no.
Human nature, though. Two games away from...
Maybe we're not human. Maybe that's... Maybe that has something to do with it. No, we just don't. We don't talk about... Coach gave it to us pretty good today, so... we've made plenty of mistakes, and especially last month of football, I don't think it's been our best. I think it's been challenging. I'm glad we've got the wins, but... should be a challenging week this week. We always struggle with Miami. I thought we played really well against them the first time we played them, but I know they'll present some different challenges this time around.
But certainly there's been a lot of accomplishments this year. I mean, between the record and between what you folks done individually and as a team. I mean, can you just speak about to this point, you know, what has happened and how you perceive this whole year and how it basically happened to go 14-0 up to that point, up to this point.
Yeah, and it's been fun. It's been a lot of fun. Every time you go in a locker room and after the games and people are celebrating, it's a lot of fun. And I think really in the most successful seasons we've had around here, we've tended to play the best football late in the year, and I hope that's the way it continues. So, you know, we don't sit around on Tuesday afternoons saying, God, you know, this is all so, the accomplishments are great, and I don't think we get caught up in that a whole lot. I think we just try to get on to the next week. You know, as you win the game, you sit down and relax for a few hours, and you get ready for the next week's opponent and the, you know, all the demands and pressures that come with playing each week. So, we try to spend our energy on those things that we feel are most important, and, that's really trying to win the game, win the football game.
Can you elaborate on what you just said about how the last month you don't think it's been your best the last few weeks? Why you think that?
Well, I think we played some opponents that it's always, I think, challenging to prepare for teams, and they, you know, what you see one week is not really what you get a different week, and you know, we've left some opportunities out on the field. And I think we've just got to find ways to capitalize, even though the margin for error might be a little bit less late in the season. We got to find ways to still capitalize on when the opponent makes mistakes. And I'd love for us to continue to play better, I think, as the next two or three games approach. Two games.
Do you think your team has been better insulated against the outside pressures than maybe some other teams that got to a certain point, 13, 14 wins or something like that, and could not go on beyond that? Do you think it's just just the culture of this team, how Bill structures things?
Probably. I think he's always I think he demands the same thing every week. So whether we win or lose, I think he coaches us very much the same way, and he puts a lot of pressure on us to achieve each week up to our own level of expectations. And he rides us pretty good when it doesn't go so well. And believe me, he always finds something that doesn't go so well. And I think for the guys that have been around here, we've had great success here, and for the last 7 years. And I think a lot of that has helped with dealing with all the questions from your family or your friends, or every time you go out on, every time you step outside your house, you get great encouragement from our fans and so forth. But at the same time, you can't buy into what everybody's saying, because it, as much as I hate to say it, it's no one really knows. I mean, you guys don't know, our families don't know, our friends don't know. Only we know what we need to correct. And even if you guys say it's good, it might not be good. Or when you say it's bad, it might not be bad, depending on how coach evaluates. So we listen to him because we truly believe that he knows exactly what he's looking for. And we trust in him to know that if we do it the way that he coaches us to do it, then we're going to go out there and perform much better.
You are aware of this, though, right? I mean, 14-0, I mean, even though you don't talk about it amongst yourselves and teammates, but I mean, you have to be, as a human, you have to be aware that you're in the midst of this perhaps historical accomplishment.
Sure. But like at the same time, it's, our goal wasn't to be like, all right, let's be 14-0 this year. So I don't think you accomplish much, and you don't play this game to be 14-0. You really don't. You play to, hopefully you put, every time you take the field, you win. It doesn't always happen that way. And this year has been a special year in that, we are undefeated to this point. But I believe me, if we go 16-1 this year, no one's going to be happy about that. And I think you set your goals up because we've established a level of championship play here. I mean, I think everyone is hoping that we can improve these next few weeks so we're most prepared for going into, whatever happens in January.
Your statistics would suggest that you've really elevated your game from a personal standpoint. Is that the case, or is it a reflection of other things?
I think it's a reflection of a lot of things. I think it's been the receivers that we've had this year have done a great job of getting open and catching the football. I think the offensive line has protected extremely well. As shown yesterday by the three guys selected to the Pro Bowl. The coaching's been great. I think Josh has done a great job of understanding the strengths of our team and of our offense and the weaknesses of the team, and trying to set up game plans each week that take advantage of what we do well. And I think tight ends have played well. Running backs are running hard, and I think it's my job to evaluate who's on the field and what they're doing against the coverage we face, and try to throw the ball to the open guy. I think the great part about playing quarterback here is you just have to do your job, and you don't have to worry about a whole lot of other things, because I have great confidence that all those other guys are going to do exactly what they're asked to do. So I just got to drop back and try to throw it to the guys in blue.
Tom, also, you've made it clear in the past that you have a lot of respect for Peyton Manning. What would it mean if you could break his single-season touchdown record?
I think Peyton's a great player. I think I always watch him and admire him and the way he plays. And he has tremendous pressure on him, and I think that team relies heavily on what he's able to do, and whether it be directing things at the line of scrimmage or his leadership ability. And he plays at such a high level of consistency. It's he's along with a few other players in the league I really look at and admire how they play. So he's had great teams and great wins, and then last year set, winning the Super Bowl, it was a great accomplishment. And I think he would say, just like everybody else, that he'd rather have that Super Bowl championship than the touchdown record, which I know that's true for myself as well.
Sorry to jump the gun. I just want to ask, how much pride do you take in the fact that throughout your career you've had a game that didn't live up to your standards? You almost always bounce back following.
Well, I think as an offense, anytime that we don't perform as well as we would like to, we're coached pretty hard, and I think we try to go out there and, you know, play better the next week. And there's a lot of factors of why things don't go the way they do. And I hope, you know, we can evaluate the mistakes we make and how to go out and correct them. And I'll focus on doing what I need to do. And I think all my teammates will focus on the things I need to do.
Do you have any special Christmas wishes this year?
None that I care to share, but yes, I do. So thanks, guys. Take care.
Patriots quarterback Tom Brady, of course, from earlier today at Gillette Stadium. And, you know, obviously it sounds like he's certainly appreciative of the fact that, you know, he was selected to the Pro Bowl. But, you know, I think this is what everybody really loves about a guy like Brady. You know, he just kind of takes it all in stride. And this is what adds to the aura of being, you know, Sportsman of the Year, like he was named in Sporting News Magazine again, and all the other accolades that he's received. He just, man, it's like water off a duck's back. You know, it just rolls. And he just rolls with the flow. And nothing ever seems to really rankle him or get under his skin. And when he does, you know, he takes care of matters quickly. He doesn't let it, you know, fester. He just kind of like gets it over with and done with, and then next, you know? And it's just amazing, some of the things that he's been able to accomplish. And I think we're finally, you know, this year certainly has gone a long way toward determining that, you know, he is going to go down as one of the best who have ever played the game at his position. I don't think it's any great shake to put him up there in the ranks of some of the all-time great quarterbacks to have played in the NFL. You know, put him up there with the, you know, with the Johnny Unitases and the Joe Montanas, and yes, the Peyton Mannings and the Roger Staubachs, and the great quarterbacks who have played in this game. And, you know, Tom Brady probably deserves to be there, and undoubtedly will be there before all is said and done, especially if he can, you know, he can get a fourth Super Bowl championship this year and continue to set some records, and, you know, he'll be forever remembered. And certainly remembered finally. And to think, you know, it came at the expense of a low-round draft pick, and he would never have gotten his start if it hadn't been for an injury to Drew Bledsoe. I mean, the story is the story, of course, of that, you know, movies are made of, and there aren't too many believable scenarios. If you scripted this thing out, it'd be kind of like, what? Oh, it's too hokey. How could that possibly happen? And yet Tom Brady's lived it. And then, of course, you combine that with the fact that he's got the Hollywood looks and he's got the famous girlfriends. And, you know, it's just, wow, it's a heck of a story. You know, so we're all just tagging along for the ride here. So good stuff out of Tom Brady. Let's see what else we got here. Oh, I was going to mention this, and I really didn't get a chance to mention it. But Jason Taylor, if you really needed to know, Jason Taylor was also named to the Pro Bowl yesterday, the only Miami Dolphin, and shouldn't come as a tremendous surprise, being 1-13, was the only Miami Dolphin to get named to the team. The thing that comes as a bit of a surprise to me, of course, he's the reigning defensive player of the year in the AFC as well. Actually, in the entire NFL, he's the reigning defensive player of the year. But the thing that comes as a surprise to me is that he's the only player in the state of Florida that was named to the Pro Bowl. Now, by that, I mean, of course, he's the only member of the Dolphins / Jaguars / Buccaneers that was named to the Pro Bowl. Think about that for a second. I mean, Jacksonville's had a very good year. Very good year. To me, and I mentioned this in yesterday's program, to me, the Jaguars may be the sleeper team in the entire AFC playoffs. They could be the team that could surprise. Yes, that includes the Patriots. Could be. The way that they're playing. And then when you consider the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are going to go in as, you know, a division winner, they'll have to play a first-round game. They won't be good enough to, you know, get up into Dallas or Green Bay stratosphere in the NFC. But the fact is that the Bucs, they lead the league in defense. They lead the league in fewest points allowed. Not one member of the Tampa Bay defense, not one member of that Tampa Bay defense made the Pro Bowl. So, Jason Taylor is the only player in the state of Florida who plays professional football that was named to the Pro Bowl team. I thought that was really bizarre. Now, I should also mention that Ted Ginn Jr. Could find his way to Hawaii because he was the, I believe, third alternate in the AFC at kick returner. So it's possible that Ted Ginn could get there, you know, as a rookie. But Daigler's the only one that was voted onto the team. And so I found that just surprising overall, especially in light of the fact of the kind of season the Dolphins are having, number one. But number two, even more so because of the season that the Jaguars and the Buccaneers have had in their respective divisions and in their respective leagues. And so, you know, I may be kind of going on about Wes Welker getting a snub here, but what are they doing in Jacksonville? And what are they doing in Tampa? Those fans, those players, they deserve to be a little upset today if you get upset over these kind of things. Those are snubs, without a doubt, without a doubt. I mentioned Fred Taylor, in fact, of the Jacksonville Jaguars, who's, you know, I think he's like 18th all-time in rushing yards, something in NFL history, and he has never, never been to a Pro Bowl. He's rushed for over 10,000 yards in his career. He's never been to a Pro Bowl. He's averaging over 5 yards a carry this year. And if he had the number of carries that, say, Willie Parker at Pittsburgh had, he'd be by far and away leading the league in rushing, if you base it on his yards per carry average. In fact, I think I read a note earlier today that of the top 49 or top 50 rushers all time in NFL history, Fred Taylor, who is in that list, he's the only player who has not made a Pro Bowl. See, that's what I would call a glaring omission, and he's had a pretty good year this year, too. Got an email here from Cole, who says, I would like to say, I wanted to talk about what I was mentioning earlier about Bill Belichick for Coach of the Year. And he says, I'd like to say that, yes, Green Bay's coach has done something pretty incredible. That being said, when the Patriots go 16-0, I don't think there is anything better to be done, especially in the AFC. Also, Belichick isn't in a league of his own with the whole Spygate scandal, except that he is the only one that has been caught. Everyone does it, and if they claim they don't, well, then they're full of it. I think Belichick is a great coach because he doesn't let small things get in the way of winning. I don't think there's a fair little doubt about that. He says, I guarantee that after the 52-7 win over the Redskins, Belichick still had a whole lot of things to say to them about what they needed to do to improve. Assume here he's talking about the Patriots. Without that ability as a coach, then our beloved Patriots wouldn't have made it where they have. He says, thanks for letting me give my 2 cents. And there you go. Cole, you're always welcome to give your 2 cents worth. That's what this program is all about. We need to hear from you. Your feedback kind of allows us, you know, and gives us a direction in which to take the conversation a lot of times. So thank you for the feedback. Thanks for taking the time to send us the email and the note. I'd have to say that, you know, I assume that the overwhelming majority of you who listen, you know, I'd say, well, yeah, of course Belichick's the coach of the year. Why would you even ask such a question? But I bring it up only in light of the whole Spygate instance, and the Don Banks article on SI.com got me thinking a little bit today about that. This is the only thing that's really going to keep him from being a slam dunk, you know, selection as coach of the year, if, of course, the Patriots go 16-0. Now, frankly, in my own personal opinion, I think if the Patriots, by some chance, lost this week or next week against the Giants, that 15-1, I don't personally think would get it done. I think you could probably make more of a case, certainly for Mike McCarthy at Green Bay. I think you could make more of a case, certainly, for Romeo Crennel of Cleveland, if the Patriots stumble and lose one. Now, if they go undefeated, from the sheer fact of the matter that it has never been done before, and that, you know, no matter what kind of an assemblage of talent that a coach has been blessed with, the fact is that there have been a lot of talented teams in this league. I mean, the 85 Bears come to mind, sure, right? And they didn't go 16-0, and they certainly could have. And even, you know, a few years ago when the, you know, in what was it, 03, 04, when the Colts went 13-0, I mean, they couldn't do it. Ultimately, they couldn't do it. No coach has been able to be at the helm of a team that could go 16-0. So that in its own right, because it is special, because it's something we'll be talking about for decades, he deserves it. I don't think that comes as a surprise to you or to many of you, certainly. Maybe because of the entire Spygate issue, that if there was a blemish on the record, that would probably, you know, take him out of the water. I would also, you know, say that if the Spygate issue had happened later in the year and not back after week one, that I don't think there'd be any way that he would get it, because there would be more of an argument for, well, potentially anyway, some wins this season being tainted. That's not the case at all here. If anything, this season has gone on to vindicate a lot of what he has said and some of the practices that may have occurred earlier. I don't know if it sort of wipes out, you know, some of the doubt over the other three previous Super Bowls, which, again, I think is ludicrous. But there's going to be that doubt, and there are always going to be those who, you know, have this holier-than-thou righteous attitude and say, well, you know, you just shouldn't cheat. And, of course, they've never fudged their taxes, or you know, they've never run a red light or a stop sign either. But that's kind of what I equate this to in my own estimation. You know, there are laws out there that say you don't run stop signs, just like there was a rule that says you don't videotape the sideline. Yet people do it all the time. Doesn't make it right, but you also don't crucify people either for their transgressions. We're supposed to be forgiving, right? We're supposed to, you know, forgive and forget and move on. Now, if, of course, you make a habit of it, well, then you probably need to be slapped a little bit. And, you know, I guess that was why ultimately there was a fine there, because there, you know, might have been a tendency to continue doing things when they were told not to. I think we all realize what that story is now. But I think that's why, again, there are some that will hold on to that and say, well, this is why he doesn't deserve to be Coach of the Year. But see, I don't think that it enters into the Coach of the Year equation in my own estimation, because it has nothing to do with him actually coaching his team to a game plan in a particular week that enables his team to win that game. The Patriots game plan better than any other team in the league. They change game plans. They're versatile on offense and defense. Teams have to game plan for the Patriots. That's the ironic thing about it all. And yet it's the Patriots, their ability to game plan against others, that sets them apart from any other team in the league. And that's why Bill Belichick really deserves, in my estimation, to be Coach of the Year. Rick in Palmdale, California sends this note. He says, in my opinion, I think you have to give the Coach of the Year to Belichick, but in years gone by when the Pats have had many injuries, for Bill to pull in the Hank Poteets and the Earthwind Morelands of the world to continue to win, well, that's more than worthy of the award. I also think that different people see the Coach of the Year award as meaning different things. Do you give it to a coach who has a roster full of talent and wins? In that case, would Norv Turner be worthy? Or do you give it to a media-friendly guy who has an above-average record? Do you give it to the guy who is perceived best as being a good sport? Or do you simply give it to the best coach? I think different people attach different meanings to the award. In light of what the Pats have done this year, it will be just as memorable if Bill wins Coach of the Year than if he doesn't. If he doesn't win, well, it'll be talked about 5 and 10 years down the line whenever this team is mentioned as an injustice. He says, outside of Belichick, I think Dick Geron in Buffalo has done a tremendous job this year. The team, in spite of the Everett situation and many other injuries, the tough losses, like the heartbreaker to Dallas, still plays hard, spirited every week, even after tough losses. Just look at the teams that the Pats have beaten this year that lost the following week and mailed it in. You never see that in Buffalo. He says, I don't think Geron has a chance, but beyond Bill, he would be my choice. Rick, it's an excellent email, and I'm glad you brought up Dick Geron, because quite frankly, even though the Bills probably won't end up but around 8-8 or so, even the fact that they would end up 8-8 is worthy of mention. And maybe in another year, maybe that in itself would be enough to be Coach of the Year. But you also have the job that, you know, Romeo Crennel's doing in Cleveland. I mean, that Cleveland team going into the year was probably a 4-win team based on what most thought it would be. And yet here they are with a chance to win 11 games and win a division and certainly get into the playoffs. No, they're 8-6, so they would be 10 games. 10-6, right? But still 10 games? I mean, come on. That's pretty impressive. But if they don't go 10-6, you know, then yeah, you could certainly make a case for Dick Geron. Absolutely. Good email. Thank you for that. All right. And speaking of the coaches, we'll end up today's broadcast with Patriots head coach Bill Belichick. Of course, same Pats time, same Pats channel here tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern time. We'll get into the conference calls with the Miami Dolphins tomorrow. Russell Baxter from ESPN, NFL Research Coordinator, he will join us as he normally does on Thursdays tomorrow. And we want to hear from you. We definitely want to hear from you. Can't do it without you, kids. We'll get your score predictions for Sunday and, you know, maybe some further thoughts on the impending march towards 16-0. That is, of course, if they win this Sunday, right? That'll be coming up tomorrow. Here's Patriots head coach Bill Belichick.
Okay, well, You know, moving on in the second round here on the Dolphins, and you know, there are definitely a lot of things that look familiar, and there's some things that look a little bit different. But you know, I thought Miami played extremely well last week against Baltimore. We were pretty familiar with them from a couple weeks ago, and you know, they did a real good job on them offensively. Had you know, over 350 yards, and you know, continued to show good versatility in their offense. You know, we saw them run the ball very effectively against us. And they've done that in several other games as well. You know, Lemon's shown some ability to move around in the pocket. They've you know, gotten some big plays out again. And, of course, Camarillo last week, Hagan, Booker, all those guys have done a good job for them. They got good skill players. And, you know, defensively they've started to pressure a little bit more probably than what we saw in the first game. And, you know, they're making a lot of plays on that. Of course, Taylor had a big game against the Ravens. And as usual, he, you know, he made plays against us. We've seen way too much of that. But, you know, they've turned the ball over on interceptions. They got a, you know, decent sack total. And, they've become a little bit more of a pressure team on defense. And certainly we have a lot of respect for, you know, again, and their ability to return the ball, in a kicking game. So I think, you know, we're going to have to, you know, have a good week of practice. It'll be on top of everything here. It's the type of team that, you know, you let Taylor lose, you let Ginn lose, you let Booker lose. You know, you let some one of those perimeter blitzers come in there and strip sack you, like, you know, like the Jets did, like Buffalo did, like the Ravens did, and you know, they make you pay for it. So we gotta avoid those mistakes and take care of the football and do a better job of stopping the run and try to get off the field on third down. You know, all things that we didn't do a great job of. In our first game, or that Miami's done a good job of in the games that in their recent games where they played much better on third down offensively. So that's where we're at for this week, and need to have a good week.
You mentioned Lemon has progressed to 300 yards passing, so he must have had a kind of a breakout campaign. But was it the whole offense or just having that?
You know, I think I think it's a good offensive football team. They've improved on their offensive line. And they have good skill players. You know, Lemons did a good job. He's made all the throws for him. He throws the ball outside, comebacks. You know, we hit some good inside passes against the Ravens. We all know the Ravens have a good pass rush, and they change up their coverages a lot, but it didn't bother him. He's had some key third down runs and has run the ball in the red area like he did against us on a quarterback draw. He's, you know, he's hurt other teams like that too, Cleveland. And so he's done a good job. And the running game is – all three of those guys have done a good job running the ball. You know, Booker is kind of a, you know, sort of Kevin Falk type of player. You know, he's makes a lot of plays in the passing game and gets the ball outside and screens and stuff like that. But, you know, Gatto and Chapman have both run the ball consistently for him as well. So I think they've got good balance in their attack. They mix in a lot of play action. You know, and Cam's a good offensive coach, unbalanced line, things like that you got to be ready for that he keeps you off balance with, and Lemon's done a good job for him.
Bill, in your experience, when a team comes off of a long losing streak like that and wins again, is it? Can you go into one of two ways on that? Is it like a confidence builder, a kind of thing that pushes them on, or can it also be a letdown the following week? Like, you know, we finally got that. And, you know, what have you seen over the years?
I'm sure we've seen, you know, we can find examples of both, but I think more importantly, I think the Dolphins have played pretty consistently, and they've lost six games by a field goal or less, and of course they won one last week, so, you know, I mean, they're a team that's been in a lot of games, they've been in a lot of close games, they've lost some tough ones, but, you know, it certainly hasn't taken away from their competitiveness and their ability to improve, so. They played a lot of good football. They played, certainly played Philadelphia and Baltimore a lot better on defense than we did. There's no doubt about that. And they tackled better. And so I think, you know, we're pretty familiar with those teams and, you know, they did a good job against them. So to me, they've been in a lot of games this year. They played a lot of good football. Like I said, they lost some tough ones, but, this really isn't a team that I don't think it's reflective of their record. I really don't. I said that the first time we played them, and they had lost a couple of close ones at that point. And, you know, I know they're not happy with their record, nor should they be, but, they've been in a lot of competitive games, and there's a lot of good football out there. You know, they've just come up short a couple times.
Joe, can you comment on the transactions, bringing Moore back and releasing the two defensive backs, and any plans for filling the final spot on the roster?
Well, we'll see how that goes this week, and I wouldn't we'll do whatever we think's best for the team, Mike, of course, and Moore gives us a little bit of depth there on the defensive line that we really only have five guys, and so it gives us a little bit more depth there. And with the DBs, we'll see how that plays out. Maybe something will work out. We have several different options, and we'll see how it all works out from there.
Tom said last week that he would like to play every snap for this game coming up against the Dolphins. What are the circumstances under which you would consider resting your starters?
Yeah, I'm not really thinking about anything right now but getting our team ready to play against the Dolphins and going out there and, playing the best that we can.
So you wouldn't consider resting them in a way? You're not approaching...
Yeah, I mean, I think that's whole, that's a conversation that you can have and the fans can have and all that. It's not really anything that... it's not really part of our approach to the game. And I don't think it's, it's a good one to have. I don't think it really... I don't really understand it either. You're going to pick out one guy that's important and say somebody else isn't. And I think that's... I don't really think that's a good way to... good way to manage your football team.
Bill, when you look at Tom's season, is maybe the most impressive aspect the touchdown to interception?
Well, I think offensively, one of the things that we've done a good job of is not turning the ball over. And that's always good. So Tom's a big part of that. He handles the ball a lot, but that also goes to our offensive line, our blitz pickup, our running backs, our tight ends. Our receivers, so everybody plays a part in that. First thing you want to do offensively is not give it to the other team. Then the next thing you want to do is move the ball and score points. So those two things combined, that really is what you're trying to do offensively when you have it. Make sure you don't give it to them and then move it and score. So, and it's a team game. So whatever any individual accomplishes certainly is reflective of what the other 10 guys out there are doing. I don't care what position the guy plays.
Pretty unusual for a three offensive lineman to get voted to the Pro Bowl. Can you expand on what you were just talking about, the offensive line?
Well, I congratulated all the players for their selection, and that's great, and I'm happy they've been selected. I think that it's also, and more so, probably a commentary on the overall team success, and so I think that all of us can take pride and be proud of the guys that were selected, and they all deserve it, and I think there are other players who are important parts of the team as well that easily could have gone, but most importantly, I think when you have a successful team, then that's usually where those selections come from. So I think that our record and overall team success has a lot to do with the players that are selected. I think that's a reflection of the team, and I'm glad those individuals received their recognition as well because they all deserve it.
So it looks like Tom's going to finish statistically with certain numbers that are just higher than they were in the past. Is it that he's raised his level, or is it more the reflection of what's around him now?
No, I don't know. I think it's probably a combination of a lot of things. But, Tom's a good player. He's a good quarterback. There's nobody I'd rather have. He's done a great job for us this year and in previous years. So whatever the numbers are, they are or they aren't. But the most important number is 14 wins. And, hopefully we can make it 15. And I think that's the number that we're all looking at is the win-loss column, not, some individual stats. They come and go, and they can be a function of a lot of different things.
Bill, I know you always do what's best for the team. And
right.
Thank you. Well. But is there a chance in the final regular season home game that you might try to look at a little bit more than you might to get Troy into the game?
We'll take a look at all the players who are on our roster and activate the ones that we think give our team the best chance to win. That's my responsibility to the team, and I don't think that'll ever change. So.
You've had seasons in which you have to do a lot of traveling. I think 2002 was a bad one in terms of having to go to the West Coast a couple times. This year it's been
since Thanksgiving, kind of to your advantage of not having to leave the Northeast. Has that helped at all in a concrete manner?
Well, Tom, again, every team has 8 home games, they have 8 road games. So if you play a lot of games on the road early, then you play a lot of games at home late. And if you play a lot of games at home early, then you play a lot of games on the road late. That's the way it is. And if it's back and forth, you know, one home, one away, week by week, then that's the way it is. So, you know, anytime you have a home game, you have a road game. Anytime you have a short week, you have a long week. Anytime you have a long week, you have a short week. So it all evens out over a 16-game regular season schedule. So whenever they're scheduled, wherever we play them, whatever we play them, then we just try to be ready to play them. It's not like college, you know, where you can schedule 9 home games and, you know, 2 road games and, you know, have a bye week before your big rival and, you know, all that. It's not like that. So, yeah, right, have a homecoming game against, you know, team that plays 4 divisions below you and all that. Yeah, it's just, we can't do that.
Coach, what do you want for Christmas this year?
What do I want for Christmas? Just enjoy it, spend time with my kids and family. Have a good day with them. That'd be great.
Can you comment on going undefeated in the division and what that means to you?
Well, you know, it's the first thing you have to do to win your division is to do well in it. So we have an opportunity to do that this week, and we'll do our best to try to go out there and play well, and that would give us 6 wins in the division. That would be something to be proud of.
Did you talk to your team about being on the verge of history, being, you know, the possibility of being 16-0?
Right now we're just talking about Miami.
Well, I know, but
it's human. Well, the rest, none of the other games make any difference. Doesn't matter. Records don't mean anything, and we're not really concerned about next week. We're concerned about Miami. That's the only thing we can do anything about. So hopefully we can have a good week and do something about that. Pay attention in meetings, have good walkthroughs, have good practices, study the film, and be ready to play on Sunday. It's the only thing we have any control over, so that's what we'll work on.
Can you sometimes have to remind them, though, not to look ahead to that last game since there are only 2 games left? Even though you probably feel
just think about Miami. That's who we're playing. Yeah. I mean, what good does it do to think about next week and the week after that and back when we were in week 5 thinking about all the, you know, the only game we play, we only play 1 game this week. It's no doubleheader. Just play 1 game. So that's one we'll get ready for.
The game against Miami back in 2004, was that one that really caught your eye with Wes Walker when he had that
Yeah, well, sure. Yeah, Wes had a big game. He had a big return in that game. But he's killed us just about every time we played him. Or we've had to double cover him to try to slow him down a little bit. And even that didn't, you know, we had trouble with him there. So, yeah, Wes has played well against us in the past. Luckily, he went off the double in this week.
Is that one of the unfortunate things about Pro Bowls? I mean, you got 8 guys, and obviously it's nothing to be complaining about, but a guy like Walker who's had a career year this year kind of gets shut out because of the number of good players here and at the position too.
God, well, I'm sure every team in the league feels that way. I'm sure every team in the league feels that they have players that deserve to go, and again, that's one of those things that you know, none of us have really any control over. It's the fans and the other players and coaches in the league vote. We don't vote for our own players, so however it turns out, and that's. But you know, I think there are more important things to our team than that. Congratulate all the players that made it, and at the same time, I think there are the players that could have made it. But that's, you know, that's the way it goes, and you know, we've all been on both sides of that, so.